Next to the United States, where the Republican convention is continuing. The message there last night and this morning was one of unity following the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump at the weekend. Among the speakers were former rivals of Mr. Trump's, Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis. Both had challenged him for the 2024 Republican Party presidential nomination. Nikki Haley, in particular, had been sharply critical of the former president during the primary. But last night, she was unequivocal in her support.
President Trump asked me to speak to this convention in the name of unity. It was a gracious invitation, and I was happy to accept. I'll start by making one thing perfectly clear. Donald Trump has my strong endorsement, period.
Ron DeSantis, too, echoed that strong support for Donald Trump and was scathing in his criticism of the current president, Joe Biden.
I am alarmed that the current president of the United States lacks the capability to discharge the duties of his office. Donald Trump has been demonized. He's been sued. He's been prosecuted, and he nearly lost his life. We cannot let him down, and we cannot let America down. Let's send Joe Biden back to his basement, and let's send Donald Trump back to the White House.
Our Washington correspondent, Sean Whelan, is in Milwaukee. I spoke to him earlier and began by asking him whether the endorsement of Donald Trump's former rivals was simply a case of party pragmatism.
Yeah, it's party pragmatism and also this great desire by the party management to present a unified front. Trump would also like to present a unified front as well, because as we saw earlier in the year during those primary contests, things got a bit hot and heated and hot and heavy indeed between the candidates, particularly Nikki Haley and Donald Trump. And she held out for a very long time. Indeed, it was only last week when she finally agreed to release her delegates. The people who had voted for her got her a bunch of delegates to this convention that were pledged to vote for her unless she released them to Donald Trump, which she did. And that was a sign of a rapprochement between the two of them. Up to that point, there was no indication that she was going to even appear at this convention, but then she was invited to speak and said it was a gracious invitation from Donald Trump. And she was prepared to speak and called for unity and said, I am backing Donald Trump.
And how did the crowd at the convention react to her and to her speech?
Well, there was a little bit of booing at one or two points, particularly when she came out first, because there has been that history between her and Donald Trump. But they warmed to it very quickly because they want to have a united front as well. They don't want to go into a general election cycle, because remember, it's not just the presidency that's up for grabs. There's seats in the federal Congress, in state houses, governorships, right down the line through county council elections. And the Republican Party as a whole, as a corporate entity, want to do the best that they can in those elections, like any political party. And with this big shop window to America that they have going on right now here in Milwaukee, they want to show unity as much as they can and say, look, we're united around a common platform. Let's go for it now. And that just buoys up the troops and helps to get the vote out.
Now, Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis weren't the only speakers last night. Were there any other notable contributions?
Well, Vivek Ramaswamy, who was also a candidate in those primary elections, he too dropped out pretty swiftly. He came and gave a really rousing speech before the other two did, a good while before the other two did, and that by common consent electrified the hall. They liked the sound of Vivek Ramaswamy. They mightn't like to vote for him, certainly not as their presidential candidate, and certainly not yet, but they liked the way he says things, and they liked the things that he has to say. Also, it should be noted that Ramaswamy has been making much of his longstanding friendship with J.D. Vance, the new vice presidential pick, tweeting out that 10, 12 years ago, the pair of them were undergraduates together in college, sitting in the school bar watching football games in Ohio. And then all these years later, well, not that many years later, they're both up on the platform of the Republican Party, leading lights of the party, and both young men who are going to carry on in a career in Republican politics and help shape the politics of the Republican Party over the next couple of decades.
Of course, Donald Trump himself was there again last night. Now, you said the first night he attended on Monday night, he seemed somewhat subdued, maybe even a bit emotional, which is entirely understandable given that he'd been the victim of an assassination attempt just days earlier. How did he seem last night?
He seemed in much better form, and even his appearance, he did look a bit gaunt, a bit shook on Monday when he first appeared in the hall. That's entirely understandable. The kind of experience that he's gone through would shake anybody. But the experience of being in the convention and meeting lots of people, getting lots of well-wishing, and just getting that energy from the crowd, it's something you really can't underestimate. He was really starting to feed on that energy tonight and that electrified atmosphere, thanks to Vivek Ramaswamy. So he was in great mood tonight.
And he is due to speak tomorrow. But in the meantime, the current president, Joe Biden, has been speaking as well. He made his first campaign trail appearance since last week's assassination attempt. What did he have to say?
Yeah, he was down in Las Vegas, Nevada. The state of Nevada has become almost or potentially a battlefield state in this election. And so there's been a number of trips down there. He was talking at the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, longstanding civil rights organization, which he's been a member of all of his adult life. But he was making a special pitch there for one of his signature policies, which is an assault rifle ban. He'd got it through previously, but it had expired. Particularly, of course, targeting the assault rifle of America, the AR-15, which was the very weapon that was used in the assassination attempt on Trump at the weekend. Here's what he had to say.
If you want to stand against violence in America, then join me in getting these weapons of war off the streets of America. An AR-15 was used in the shooting of Donald Trump, just as it was an assault weapon that killed so many others, including children. It's time to outlaw them. I did it once and I will do it again.
How much of a hearing is he going to get for that call, do you think, Sean?
Well, it'll play to the Democrat side of American politics. That's the 46% that he's more or less playing for. Whether the 46% that vote Republican is going to go for it, I don't know. I saw plenty of T-shirts around town here earlier, spelling out unpleasant messages to Joe Biden in the shape of AR-15 rifles, or in one case with AK-47 rifles, strange Soviet rifle at a Republican convention. But you know, there's a lot of people who like their guns who turn up at the Republican Party. Indeed, Channel 4 had a story going back to a story they did in 2016 about databases that the Trump campaign had built up of voters to be targeted for the Trump campaign based on their gun ownership and membership of hunting clubs. One of the people that they had targeted on that database all those years ago turned out to be the father of the would-be assassin at the weekend, the man who had bought the AR-15 that was used in that assassination attempt.
Our Washington correspondent, Sean Whelan, there.